Hey, how's it going? I'm Nick, the host of the Echo Academy podcast, a podcast dedicated to tapping into the world's collective experience and wisdom so we can all learn to be more resilient. In part two of this special four-week series, I'm going to share with you a talk I gave to about 1,500 17-year-old kids on the importance of having a great support system during difficult times. Specifically, I focused on how I learned to bucket my friends and family into separate groups so that I knew who I could turn to when I needed a specific type of help. I hope you find this helpful. At that time, I was in CJC, so same age as you guys, pretty much. So she couldn't understand it. But what was particularly challenging was I couldn't explain to her why I was feeling that way and why what she saw as me not caring about the relationship was actually me suffering mentally. And as a result of that, it caused a lot of friction. We fought most of the time, and you know, no surprises. You know, it ended. But I think what I learned from that is it helped me understand, in a nutshell, the challenges people with any sort of mental illness faces, and that is our inability to communicate what we're going through with other people. And in a nutshell, that's essentially it for any problem, right? If you can't help other people visualize the problem that you face, then it's very hard for them to understand, to empathize, to appreciate, and even to support you through your journey at overcoming whatever it is. And a good example or a good analogy that I can give is, so, you know, it's like a baby and a mom, right? You know, a baby cannot explain to the mom what they're facing. So they just cry and throw a tantrum. And it's really up to the mom to figure out what is the problem. And I think that's true for, you know, for us when we can't explain what it was going through, what we were going through. But I think even after we started to, or at least I started to understand what I was going through, and I was able to explain my suffering, my depression. At that time, I wasn't diagnosed yet, so I didn't really know. It didn't make the relationships a lot easier, because I would experience two sorts of responses to my sharing of my problems. Number one, which is what I think many people will always talk about, and that's the stigma around mental health, right? And you know, people will just say, you know, things like, you know, it's something so easy that you can just easily get over. Nothing 2 weeks of good rest can solve, you know, all sorts of advice that doesn't really lend any scientific support, but you know, they just assume that this is the way that they can help you. A good example of that was actually when I was in university and I took a semester off school to really recover from my clinical depression. The administrator that I submitted the leave of absence approval form to actually said, oh, okay, clinical depression. I think after one semester, you should be fine, and I look forward to seeing you back in school. And of course, she meant it. She was well-intentioned, right? I don't think there was any malice in the words she said, but you know, these kinds of comments really just exemplify people's lack of understanding of what we go through. And it's just, you know, one of the challenges that we face. So even if we know how to express ourselves, we don't always get people who understand what we are going through. And the other type of people are people who can appreciate and empathize what you're going through, but who can't seem to support and help in any way. And the best example of that, and this was really the turning point in my life, was May 19, 2011. You know, I was reaching out to a university friend of mine. We were not particularly close. We were just, you know, good friends in the sense that we took many classes together. You know, and I reached out to him one night and I told him I was suffering. I really don't really know what to do. And by that time, I had spoken to him countless of times about my struggles. But we were all also going, both of us were going through challenges in university as well, in terms of our academics, etc. So I remember he said to me, listen, bro, I can't help you if you don't get your own help. So don't call me again until you get the help you need. And in hindsight, I appreciate that because, you know, everyone has boundaries and I respected his need for space because I was taking up his time and energy. But at that time, in 2011, I saw it as an example of nobody being able to help me when I needed help. And so the next day, May 20th, was when I attempted suicide. I'm still here, so of course that means I didn't succeed, and thankfully so, because you know, I couldn't be happier with my life now and I'm really enjoying it. So I'm happy to talk about that later on as well. But I think from these relationships, I finally understood that at the crux of every support system, of every relationship that require that allows you to depend on someone to support you in some ways, there has to be a healthy respect for someone's boundaries, be it yourself who's going through something, or someone else's, because at the end of the day, like I mentioned before, we all have finite time and energy, and they deplete every time we help someone. And so we can't expect people to always be at our beck and call when we need them the most. And understanding people's boundaries is always a good starting point. But I think more important than that is whenever you go through challenges, you also have to take into account people's ability to help. Because many of us may have good friends, but not everyone of these good friends can understand what you're going through. But I think we always have this assumption that the people closest to us know us well enough to be able to help. But that's not always true. And I think mental illness is the best example of that. So knowing what I knew, and by then I had lost maybe one or two friends because of that, because of, you know, my toxic and negative nature. I don't know if that's the right words, but I'll use that for now. I realized the importance of trying to protect my existing relationships, you know, to make sure that I could have people who helped me along the way, but also, more importantly, at the end of my, at the end and overcoming depression, I would be able to know that all my friends and family are still around, because I knew that I was determined to overcome my clinical depression, but I didn't want to have another problem waiting for me after I overcome it, and that was having much less friends and family. So what I did was I created, I mean, now I call it a fancy name, of course. I call it the concentric circles of a support system. But essentially what I mean is being able to bucket the friends and family in your life based on their ability to help you. And the main point of that was just so that I, number one, could protect myself against people who chose not to understand or appreciate what I was going through, because there was not going to be any supportive relationship there. And number two was to protect others from myself, because when I'm struggling with my mental health issues, I assume everyone has the capacity and time to help me go through it, which is not always the case. And I didn't want to burden them with my own suffering as well, because everyone goes through challenges in life, no matter how severe one is to another. And three, and more importantly, is to categorize specifically who can help me with what, so that when the time comes, I know who exactly I could go to and reach out to, so that I don't have to waste time and energy trying to search for someone who can listen to my particular problem. So I'm going to break down these concentric circles for you. But a brief caveat, I don't want you to use this for yourself. I mean, you can if you want, but this is mainly just to create an idea in your mind of how you can think about the support systems and how you want to categorize the people in your life so that they can lend a hand to you and vice versa. So the first, the outer circle, I categorize it as people who don't care, but I don't want you to see it as a negative term. Now, what I mean by people who don't care, essentially, what I mean is people who at that point in time don't have the capacity to help you in the way that you want. Everyone has their own challenges and struggles. And because of that, they do not have that resource to provide you when you need it the most. And I think the reason why I chose the words for myself, the words don't care, is because I wanted it to be crystal clear in my mind that I will not touch these people and reach out to them because it's going to create unnecessary friction between us because I'm expecting something from them that they are not ready to give and it's not fair to them. And so this was my way of preserving those relationships because I still wanted them in my life. So I don't want you to think of the words don't care as something negative, just something that helps clarify, that's something that helped me clarify that these were people that I shouldn't reach out to at this particular time because they didn't have the capacity to help. The next set of people are people who care but can't help. The best example of this for me was my parents. They provided unconditional love and support for me, and I couldn't be more thankful of that, you know. But that didn't mean there were, you know, challenges and struggles along the way because they didn't understand what I was going through and they didn't know how to help. All they could do was listen and try to provide a sympathetic ear for me. But at the start, I used to be really frustrated because I went to them specifically to get help, not just to be listened to. But I didn't understand the dynamic at that time. And I mean, I don't regret too many things in life, but I definitely regret how I treated my parents during that period because I was expecting something they couldn't give, and even though they were giving all they could. And so for me, having this circle was really important because it helped me understand that people who care don't always have the ability or capacity to help in the way you want them to. But that doesn't mean that it can't provide the support you need. And I eventually realized that my parents were great listeners and great sources of me just unloading, and they provided that great support. So I knew I needed to bucket them in a way that we could both benefit from that relationship and not just, you know, cause that unnecessary friction. The third bucket, is something you would have probably guessed already. And that's people who care and can help. I suppose by definition, my psychiatrist fell into that category because, you know, essentially I paid him to care and help me. But I think having a clear understanding of who cares about you and who has the ability to help is really critical because it really allows you to have a clear understanding of the partnership you have with that person. A good example for me was, you know, it was not easy to get professional help for me, but eventually when I finally took that step, I knew that that person really cared about, I mean, I don't know about me personally, but about my well-being, and he was determined to help me get through. And understanding that not only did he care about that, but he had the tools and capabilities to help me get to that endpoint was very clear for me and very important. And so it really helped me focus my time and energy on him because he had the capability and ability to help me. But I also don't want you to think that only like professional people can fall into that category. You know, other people can essentially go from one of these circles to the other. And a good example of that for me is my wife now. You know, at first, you know, she really cared, but really didn't know how to help me. But over time, you know, we've been married 4 years. We've dated for 2 years before that. You know, we've been together for 6 years, and over time she realized, you know, what were the things that could help me calm down, that could help me rationalize my thoughts, that could de-stress me so that it doesn't escalate into another depressive episode, and all these things. And I think over time, when you build that relationship, it can give you that ability and it can empower the people in your life to eventually come to a stage where they can care and have the ability to help as well. But of course, don't expect it of them, but it's just an opportunity to. So I think the reason why I wanted to keep this presentation short is, you know, as I mentioned, I really want to get to all your questions, because sometimes specific questions help me answer in a way that allows you to get more insight on mental illness and mental health. But why I wanted to focus specifically on relationships is because I think regardless of mental health or any other thing, challenges in life, struggles in life, suffering in life is inevitable. You know, it's ups and downs, and eventually you go through certain downs. And I think it's always good to pay attention to the people around you, to the relationships around you. Understand the dynamics, you know, of who can help, who you can help, and where you sit in other people's social support system and where other people sit in yours. So that when those difficult times get to you, you have people to lean on and you don't have to feel like you go through this world alone. And I think that isolation always makes things worse. And that's something I wish that no one would experience in their life.